last Monday evening, we had a time of prayer together, and before that, we had looked at a little selection regarding prayer in our spiritual life. And if you remember, the author said that there was a real connection between the two, that we can't really be alive, as it were. As Christians, we can't truly have the life of God in us if we're not praying Christians. If we're not communicating with God, if we're not communing with Him, if we're not spending time with Him. And tonight I'd like us just to read together the last article, or the article number 9 in these little booklets. And if you don't have a booklet, just raise your hand. I have some to give. It's interesting, you'll find that as we... need more? You'll find that as we read, and as we read tonight, if you've been paying attention at all throughout this week, and even just today, you'll find that things that we've heard before are being repeated. It's like the loaves and the fishes. I can keep reaching in. There'll be more. Don't worry about it. It's going to be more. And so we know that God is speaking to us. And we want to say, Lord, help me to listen to what you're saying. Help me to take it into my heart. And so as we read through this account of Sister Robinson, maybe some of you have heard of her. Sister Mary, since you're so good at helping, there's a picture of Sister Robinson in that little room. Yes, right behind there. It's on the shelf to the left. I know that Brother Gordon Gardner, the first director of this camp, he was very, he wanted us to remember our history, and he preserved so many things for us of our spiritual heritage. And many of the things that we hold dear here at camp and the teachings of the Ridgewood Fellowship begin with this woman. I don't know if you've ever seen her picture before, but that's Sister Robinson. And she was just a little lady. I understand a little bit, maybe 5 foot or so. But she walked with God, and she knew God in a way that few have known Him. And yet she said this, that the experience that she had was not just for a select few, but that God wanted to do that for His people. And so we want to reach out and know God. Now, her story is in Radiant Glory. If you've ever read that book, it's down in the boathouse. I'm sure you can find it in the library here. And it was a story that was compiled and written by Brother Gordon Gardner. And so this little article, Standing Upon the Rock, is taken from that book, Radiant Glory. It's one of the chapters. Pretty much in its entirety, there are some, I made some minor edits to get it to 3 pages, but this is the essence of chapter 19, is it? In Radiant Glory. And again, I want you to listen as you read. Listen as we read. And see if God will not speak to your heart and underline something that He's already said to us. All right, the way we did it last week is if anyone can read a paragraph, all right? Just read a paragraph, and we'll see. We'll get through it that way, all right? And if you read, read slowly, read clearly, read loud, so that we all can hear. I'll start. Standing upon the rock, Martha Robinson continued to seek the Lord with ever-increasing intensity, determined to have all that God had for her. Still her cry seemed to go unanswered. Of course God was answering and doing a mighty work of preparation in her soul for subsequent blessings, but she was not getting what she was expecting. She would not, however, be discouraged nor denied.
Now Mrs. Robinson well knew that the very first step toward getting anywhere into the deep things of God is an absolute surrender, consecration, abandonment to God, and that we may pray until doomsday for a perfect work in us, but it will never be done until we let go of ourselves, give ourselves over to Him. To the best of her knowledge, she had done this, but when she did not receive the victory she was so earnestly striving for, she decided to make a thorough canvas of her life, to know if everything were wholly God's, spirit, soul, and body.
Diligently, Mrs. Robinson searched her heart, her husband and her home, her friends and their approval, her position, her ambitions and plans, her religious work and her future work, life itself, all went on the altar. Certainly her concentration was now complete.
At this point, she left her room to go downstairs, but at the top of the stairs, the Spirit of God stopped her and spoke in her soul. There's one thing you haven't given. What could it be? She pondered. She had given everything she could think of. She retraced her steps, entered her room, took out her written consecration, reread it, and tried her hardest to think of what it was she had not given. She could not possibly think of one thing she had reserved. At length, the Lord Himself told her, "It's your reputation you haven't given." So she added to the list, "My good reputation."
About 10 days or so after this, in the midst of a time of deep prayer, the Lord gave His seeking child a vision of her heart, absolutely empty and clean. "Why, it's nothing but a hollow shell," Miss Robinson exclaimed. Then she continued her relation of this precious experience. And Jesus spoke and said, "I will come in and make it a well of praises."
Thank you.
But He didn't then. And the experience that followed was just that sense of emptiness and cleanliness. I went around for days feeling as if my heart were empty and terribly clean, but not a feeling of any other kind. No joy, no change of any kind, no increase of love. I never heard of any other person having this experience.
It was at or near this time in December 1906 that the Holy Spirit spoke over her lips the one word, baptized. From that moment on, she claimed her baptism in the Holy Spirit as an accomplishment fact. Though it was not until 2 months later that she spoke in tongues for the first time. In the meanwhile, she just held on believing for the complete fulfillment and manifestation of the words spoken to her.
During this waiting period, her faith sustained and strengthened by Exodus 33:20-22. Those words were spoken by the Lord Moses at the time of his experience when he was crying out to God. The people had sinned. God had said he would not go with them to the land of Canaan, but answered to Moses, prayer the promise was given, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Moses answered, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And then Moses began and pleaded with great hunger for more. "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And as a result of that prayer, the Lord made the promise, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hands while I pass by."
After a period of deep seeking for God's work in me, which corresponded in my experience to that of Moses crying after God, I came into that place of confidence that the work would be done and that I should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And God permitted my patience and faith to be severely tested by a long waiting time in which there was no apparent change or progress. I found all I could do was to stand. I was on the rock, Christ Jesus, and had invincible promise of the Father, and all I could do was wait for the glory to pass by. I found that in this patient waiting time, one must watch as well.
I imagine Moses thought of nothing else until the glory passed by. You can't imagine him settling down to read or write or study out some problem. In the meanwhile, neither can we imagine him slumbering until the blessing came. If he had done any of these things, surely the glory never would have passed by. I think he was watching expectant, and earnest, undoubting, watching for the glory, that God himself would pass by.
Moses took no one with him to the secret place God showed him. We have to come into our own deep experiences alone in the Spirit. It may be in a meeting or with companions, in our closet or in a crowded office, store, but whatever comes to one in the Spirit must come direct from God, and no one else can partake of our own special experience. Words, as we testify, fail to convey even half of the reality, and we stand alone. We must be shut in with God so that waking and sleeping, working or praying, the running current of thought is Jesus.
Many seek for a time, and then, because there is delay, let their minds wander to other things or get into a lethargic, indifferent spirit, which I have called taking a nap. We are apt to deceive ourselves under both these conditions that we are really waiting. Alas, no God sees differently, and we may wait indefinitely in this way. One may tarry indefinitely, that is, drop all other duties, and yet not truly tarry in spirit. And again, one may be busy, but yet having a tarrying spirit, that is, a waiting, expectant, prayerful spirit, and unbroken communion with God.
Altogether, I learned these lessons largely through my experience. But praise his name, I stayed upon the rock and waited until the glory passed by, and he put me in the cleft of the rock and covered me there with his hand. Jesus baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and truly I find myself in the cleft of the rock. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So what spoke to you?
Well, in the very beginning, it says that she sought the Lord with ever-increasing intensity. I can vouchsafe my wife did that for 2 years. She was so mad after I was filled with God. I'm only kidding. She was very happy that I was filled with the Spirit. But she said it wasn't fair. And she cried day and night for 2 years, went down in the basement. She sought the Lord anytime she could. Lord, Lord, come to me. And the day came. Labor Day retreat here 2 years later that God came to her. But she really sought with an intensity of heart. And I think that's one of the secrets for all of us when we're looking for God to come to us and have our own real true experience where no one can take it from us. And whether it be the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you just need to be renewed. We have to really, really go after with an intensity and a desire. And I believe God honors that, and obviously he does.
Amen.
I think that oftentimes we have the same problem that she had, in that we may think we have given everything over to God, but meanwhile we're hanging on to some little something, and it may be just a little bit of a corner of our lives. But we're not going to be filled with God's Spirit. We're not going to be all God wants us to be unless we absolutely let go of everything. If I had a glass in my hand, I could control the whole glass by just one little spot. I wouldn't have to grip the whole thing, just one little spot. And that's what the problem that many of us have. We're still hanging on to that one little spot.
Good when she was waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. And she waited 2 months, and she just held on believing for the complete fulfillment and manifestation of the word spoken to her. She, you know, didn't give up.
challenged personally by this concept of her list of consecration and how she sat down and was able to list things out and feel convicted. And Salitha talked about maybe falling into a place where you think you can do that, but I think I see it from another side where I don't think I can necessarily make a full list and say, yeah, I've given everything as I should, and make a full, complete list. And I find that to be challenging personally, where she can list everything in her life and not question whether or not she's consecrated all those things to the Lord.
Like in the fifth paragraph where it says, the Lord gave the seeking child a vision of her heart, absolutely empty and clean. And she says, why is nothing but a hollow shell? And I think that's a good reminder that to us, we tend to try and fill our hearts with earthly things all the time. But God wants to clean it out and fill it with him.
Amen. I think we had a little bit about that this morning in the story of Abraham. You think Abraham absolutely surrendered everything to God? When he put that son, his only son, on the altar, do you think that was an absolute surrender to God? I just wanted to say this about this. What speaks to me is that we live in a time when we don't really wait for too many things. And I know you've heard this before. You know, we're kind of an instant society, you know. We can take a meal out of the freezer and throw it in the microwave, and in 3 minutes we can have a meal. And we seek instant gratification. You know, you want to learn something now. You don't have to open an encyclopedia. You don't have to go to the library, open an encyclopedia book. You can Google it. You know, it's right there. If you want to send someone a picture, you don't have to go to the store and develop it and then put it in an envelope and send it to them. I can send a picture across the world in seconds. And so the question, we live kind of like, why wait for anything? Why work for really too much? I mean, you know, I don't really have to work at it anymore. And that carries over into our spiritual experiences. We want to go to a place, we want to go to a church, or we want to go, that somehow I leave there and I feel good. I go in, I feel good, an hour later I go out. Next Sunday. You'll see me again. And I'll go in, and hopefully I'll feel good, and then I'll go out. And these accounts remind us that if we really want to know God, it's going to take time. It's going to take giving of our all to Him. It has to be the most important thing. If it's not what you really want, then God's not going to give Himself to someone that doesn't really want Him. And we may say that we want God. I may say, Lord, I want you. But then it has to be a change in my priorities, in what I put first, in what I seek in my spare time. What do you do? What do I do when I have really nothing else to do? You might say, I don't have a moment like that in my life. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all have time for the things that are important to us. It seems like to Mrs. Robinson, it seems that this was important to her enough that she would give herself completely to it. And so I'm challenged that way. Does God have more for us, for each one of us? We might be at all different places in our walk with God, but God says to us at every step of our walk with Him, I need your full, undivided attention. I need you to take this seriously. I need you to take this to heart. And we can make 1,000 excuses why we can't. But if it's really worth having, then it's worth seeking. And Jesus is worth seeking. To be filled with His Spirit is something of great, great value. Jesus Himself comes, makes Himself real and precious. He comes, lives His life within us, sits upon the throne of our hearts, causes these rivers of living water to flow. He makes your life a blessing. It's not all about you anymore. It's about Him. It's about others. It's about His kingdom. And if we're not living like that, then we're not filled with the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit is not evident in our lives, then we're not filled with the Spirit. And it doesn't just happen. We have to give to Him what He's given to us. What I mean by that is He's not asking us to earn it by works. That's not what I'm saying. It's not like you have to just try harder and I have to really try at this, and if I just try, it's going to... But He also requires us just to give ourselves, our lives. He's given breath to us. He's given life to us. And He says, just give that life back to Me. Live for Me alone. And so tonight as we go to prayer, I will ask for prayer requests as we did last week. But I think we ought to spend some time saying, Lord Jesus, make me hungry and thirsty for Yourself. Again, the call is, put Me first. God says, put Me first. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. All these things would be added unto you. Oh God, get a hold of our hearts tonight. Now, we might have read this through and you might have, maybe nothing spoke to you. And maybe that's all right. But I just ask you this then. Take it again. And maybe get quiet, somewhere alone. And you read it again. And say, God, what's in this for me? What's in it for me? And as I said, no matter where we are, no matter how young or old we are, Peyton got something from this reading. And we all can take something. And we ought to approach our Bibles with that intensity. Lord, you need to speak to me as I read. Don't be careless with your Bible reading. Don't be careless with your time of prayer. Because if you are, then it shows to God that you're really not looking for Him. And then we kind of deceive ourselves, and we think we are when we're really not. And I think that was one of the thoughts here as well. Don't fool yourself. You might fool others, but you're not fooling God. He knows our hearts. He sees. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So before we take requests, let's just spend some time just looking to the Lord. Let's pray for one another. Oh God, oh God. Together, Lord, we want to seek you. As your people, Lord, make us a seeking people, that we would encourage one another to follow on, to know the Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that you put us with others who have this desire in their hearts. We're not alone in our walk with you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that there would be a love and a faith that unites us to one another and to yourself, and that we can seek you as a people of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us tonight, that your grace would touch our hearts and awaken us to our great need, but you would put a great love in our hearts, Lord, for yourself. Jesus, I want to love you more. I want to seek until I find. Lord, you've promised those that seek with all the heart, they find you. Find you in all your fullness. We thank you for the testimonies of others who encourage us along the way. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would inspire us, Lord, not to be lazy, not to take these things lightly, not to be indifferent to your call, but, Lord, to run after you, to truly put you first. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, maybe others would just pray out along this line about the things we've read. Oh God, oh God, come to us, Lord, come to us, come, Holy Spirit.
Lord, create a desire in every heart here tonight, yes, Lord, yes, to seek you with the whole heart. Lord, I just pray you'll do something for everyone. Oh God, I pray you'll do something. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, help us to seek after you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we know nothing is important but Jesus Christ and abiding in him.
Oh,
all that when life will soon be past, and all that was done for Christ will last. Father, our bodies are temples for your Spirit to dwell in. We are the church. We are the living church. And Father, you want to abide in us. And I just pray that you will be so real to us tonight. Put such conviction and such a diligence in us that we'll seek you until we find you. Lord, let us never be satisfied, but may our priorities be to seek you until we find you. Well, Lord, we love you, and may it not be where we just say, I love going to church, it was such a good time, but oh God, help us to see our need. We all have it. Even those that feel they've arrived, we still need more of you. Help us to grow up into the fullness and the measure of the stature of Christ. There's so much, Lord. It's Christ within. That's the hope of glory. How we need you, Lord. Don't let us kid ourselves or fool ourselves spiritually, but oh God, help us to have the real thing. And that's going to be you coming to us and living out your life within us and making changes where we can't make those changes. Lord, giving us desires to pray and to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. We know, Lord, you'll add all these other things to us if we would just put you first. God, I pray you'll do it. Do a real change in every heart, young and old.
Hallelujah.
For Jesus' sake and for eternity's sake, we ask it. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. God. Oh, Holy Spirit, come on. Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord.